I kind of feel like when I was in the military, I had a boss who once said, "Well, Chris, you screwed up and you did good. And now we got some more stuff for you to do." So apparently if you sing enough songs and get through them in the right key, you get an invite to speak. My name's Chris Fuller. I'm a member here. I've been a member here since 2017. Katrina's my wife. And it's been a real pleasure to be a part of this congregation and this body. This is a body that gets together and gets a lot of work done. It's been 10 months since Jess retired, and it's been roughly 2 years since Jeremy left us. And that's been a long time where this body has come together and gotten the mission of Jesus moving forward. And I don't think we've really missed too much of a beat in that time. I say that it's been a true blessing to sit over here and listen to all the different voices and all the different depth of wisdom that we have in this body. And that's been an amazing opportunity and such a blessing. But I would also say our blessing is probably the staff's burden. And they've done such a lion's share of work behind the scenes. Elizabeth, Kaylin, Nathan, Steve Walker, Gwen Walker, Jeff McGlon, even though he's not technically part of the staff, man, what amazing work he's done keeping everything together. So, as we say that, we're going to talk a little bit about God's great creation, God's great temple, and you can move to the next slide. And we're going to trace the idea of God's great temple all the way down from the great creation all the way down to the smallest element. So, today's word of the day, or number rather, is one septillion. One septillion, that's the number of stars in the observable universe. One septillion stars. That's 10 to the 24th power. That's 1 trillion times a trillion stars. There's anywhere between 2 to 400 billion galaxies in the known universe. Of those galaxies, one is ours, the Milky Way. And there's anywhere between another 200 to 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. One of those being ours in our solar system. And we're one of 9 planets because I still hold on to Pluto. And in that great creation, there we are hanging in space. So those are really fantastic numbers, but they don't really put things into full perspective. So I came across this the other day. 1 million seconds ago, we're going to put this in the space of time. 1 million seconds ago was about 12 days ago, June 3rd. Okay, sounds like a lot of time. 1 billion seconds ago was 1993. By raise of hand, who here was born after 1993? I know this section over here. Got a couple over there, right? You're not even a billion seconds old yet. 32 years is where you'll be when you're a billion seconds old. All right, where's Keaton? 1 trillion seconds ago. 1 trillion seconds ago, Keaton, you think you're older or younger? He's not sure. 30,000 BC, 1 trillion seconds ago, 30,000 BC. That puts the scope of our universe into a whole new perspective. There we are, just a speck of dust hanging in this amazing darkness. Next slide, please. Okay, so this is a famous picture. This is called the Pale Blue Dot. And this was taken in 1990 from the Voyager 1 spacecraft. The Voyager 1 was launched in 1977. It went out through our solar system and past Pluto, turned around and took this picture. This is the first Earth selfie. Hard to see, just a little speck of dot out there, right? But there we are, hanging in this all of God's great creation. Next slide, please. So this is a picture of Earth from space. And when astronauts come back from space, they report this effect called the overview effect. And the overview effect is a sort of surreal feeling. It's a paradoxical feeling of peace, but also tension. And it's a paradoxical feeling of we see how fragile this earth, this special creation is. And the second thought is, this truly is a special place hanging in the cosmos. This is a center of creation created by our great creator. The other thing that is lasting with these astronauts when they come back is they say, all man's trivial matters sort of melt away. There's no borders, you can't see them. There's no squabbles or disagreements. There's no finances, it all falls away. And we look at ourselves as one unified globe, one unified home that God created for us to live in. Now, a quick branch. That's hard to say right now in the temperature of our climate of our country, the climate across the globe. But let's not forget that we are here to reflect Jesus, to reflect light over dark, to reflect community over division, to reflect love over hate, and to reflect peace over violence. That's the challenge for us. And when we step away and we look at our beautiful, fragile, special world, that can fall away, but we have to grab that perspective. Okay, so when did I feel the overview effect? When I was a kid, I grew up in South Florida, Miami. Katrina always gets on my case. She says, people don't know what South Florida is. I grew up in Miami. We had a small place down in the Keys, and we would go lobster fishing. And I would sit up on the front of the boat. Me and my buddies went out one night, and you need the most breathless night, perfect night to go lobster fishing. And you go out on the flats, and you use this high-powered Q-beam, and you're sweeping the flaps, and you're looking for these little bug eyes staring back at you, and that's a lobster. So you kind of motor on over, and they got this flat net, and you pop it on top of the lobster. Lobster pops into the net, and you've got a delicious meal. So one night we're out there sweeping the flaps, and all of a sudden my Q-beam fizzes out, and all the lights on the boat go out. And there we are in the middle of God's great creation, spanning over us the Milky Way. And what's special about that moment was the flats reflected the stars, and it was a 360-degree encompassment of God's great creation, and there we were floating in it. And that was that overview effect, that effect of, man, I feel like we are special. I feel like God is right there at our fingertips. But there's a slight tension, that God-sized hole in our hearts that C.S. Lewis talks about. It's soothed, it's relieved, but it's not fully filled. We're just an arm's length away. So that's the idea, and that's the feeling that I think has been universal throughout mankind. When you find yourself down at Camp Niates and those stars come out, that's that feeling. And so what does that drive us to do? First, we're at the footstool of God's first great temple, which is the great cosmos above. And then God intervenes, and he directs us to actually build temples here on earth. Next slide, please. So that's me 20 years ago, which is hard to believe. That's in front of the ziggurat in the ancient city of Ur in modern-day Iraq. And this temple was built in 2500 BC, before the holy nation of Jerusalem, before the holy Hebrew nation. But what's special about this place is this is where Abram was born and raised. And this is where he first heard the whispers from God telling him to move forward into the promised land and build the nation of Israel. And God uses some of the very familiar language that we're talking about now. He says, he took them outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, so shall your offspring be. And that was God's commission to Abram before he moved forward into the promised land and set the seeds for the holy nation of Israel. And as we mature in this idea of the temple, God does intervene and does commission man. He commissions Moses to build a tabernacle. And the tabernacle is a very elaborate temple. As a matter of fact, Exodus 25 through 30, all those chapters talk about how to build this tabernacle. And it's involved. One of the main features of the tabernacle are these veils or these curtains that separate the outer chamber from the inner chamber. And so, yes, it soothes us. We feel the presence of God being in God's holy place, but there's a small separation between us and God. The sinful man cannot be presented before the perfect God. And so those veils are in place. So there's that paradoxical feeling we were talking about earlier, which is soothing in worship, presence of God in the great creation at the foot of the temple, but still just the slightest veil between us and our Heavenly Father. And here's the fun part. Then Jesus comes. And with Jesus, once again, God walks with man. There are three times in biblical history where God can freely walk and be in the presence of man. The first is in the garden, the second is in the ministry, and life of Jesus Christ, and lastly, which is to come, which is the descending of the Holy Jerusalem temple down onto the new earth, where God will dwell with us once again. But in this time, Jesus is there, and he's walking with his disciples and followers. God is with his people. But he knows that that time is coming to a close. So he offers two new gifts, these two ideas of new temple that is to come. John 14:16, and you go to the next slide. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. Once again, that language of the holy temple. The Holy Spirit encounter is a holy temple encounter, right? God is with us, and he comes and abides with us through the Holy Spirit. And we're all very familiar with that experience. We're all very familiar with that idea. But I want to go to the next gift. Next slide, please. And this is Matthew 18:20. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. And what does that mean? God not only gives us the Holy Spirit to be with us, he gives us one another to be with him, right? When we're together and we meet in his name, Jesus is in our midst. That is a holy temple moment. And that's something worthy of praising. So what I think about that for us here on this earth, right now, somebody's sick in a hospital room, there's two people praying together. That's a holy temple moment going on right now. Right now, there's a small group meeting in a prison behind bars, learning about the gospel, feeling relief from the presence of holy Jesus. That's a holy temple moment. Volunteers feeding the hungry up in North Kings Highway, disaster relief, our own food pantry went and engaged. Another holy temple moment, teaming up together to bring relief. Unrest in our cities. We have chaplains deployed around our country, praying for peace, praying for reconciliation. Another holy temple moment. So what does that mean for us here at McKnight Crossing? When we walked in this morning, we got another quiz, and I'll leave it to Katrina to answer. Encouraged. We've walked by three banners. They were delight, encourage, and serve. Delight, encourage, and serve. That's our vision for this church. What I love about it, not a nary one can you do by yourself. You've got to do it with somebody else. How do we delight in one another here at McKnight? Vacation Bible School. 70 kids served, 40 visitors, over half our community came into our church and learned about Jesus. And Jesus was front and center during that Vacation Bible School experience. It was wonderful. Thank you again to Jeff McGlon and the team. Senior Sunday, we had our seniors taking their next chapter in life. We all came together and we celebrated our seniors. We do that as a community. We do that as a group. That's a holy temple moment right here in our own church. Here, of course, gathering this morning being one as well. Encourage. How do we encourage one another? We do that together as well. Yes, we can send an email. We can send a phone call. I love those notes. I get them from many in this body. But man, there's something to be said for putting your arm around somebody, that magic, that healing of a human touch, right? So I've got a homework assignment for everybody. Did you know if you hug somebody, it releases a hormone called oxytocin? It's called the cuddle hormone. There we go. We're already getting started. Love that. Oxytocin releases stress or relieves stress, lowers blood pressure, enhances emotional connection, and improves mental health. Here's the challenge with releasing this chemical to its full ability. You got to hug somebody for 20 seconds to fully release and get the full effects. So your homework, a 20-second hug is a long hug. Sometimes I pull away from Katrina. She says, I'm not done yet. And I got to go back in. So your homework this week is to hug somebody for 20 seconds. And if you want extra credit, you can hug somebody for 20 seconds each day this week. And feel the medicinal and healing effects. And most importantly, feel Jesus there with you. And finally, serve. You can go to the next slide. Okay, so I leave serve. This is me. What's ironic, I guess not ironic, but special about this picture is this was nearly to the day 20 years ago when I got baptized in Iraq. It was August of 2005. So 20 years ago, what this means to me, when I think about service, I think about a maturity in faith. Early on in our walk in faith, we have to call Jesus to us. We need healing. We need reconciliation. The first early years, we're backsliding and falling and missing the point, rebuilding and getting encouraged by those around me. And we can still do that to this day. We're all going to need that throughout our life and our journey. But the maturity of faith is serving our communities. And when you're steady on your feet, and when you feel reconciled and you feel healed, the next natural step is to go out and serve in our communities, to be engaged in our church, to be engaged with our friends and family. And so that's kind of where I'm at now, so sprinkling a little personal story in there, and I'm looking for that next opportunity to do that. Jesus is out there. We can call Jesus to us, but he's out there. Matthew 25, he says, where I was sick, you gave me healing. Where I didn't have clothes, you gave me clothes. That's where Jesus is, and that's where the mission is. So that's the challenge for us, is to take that next step of maturity and move forward in our faith. So last thing, today is Father's Day. And we've heard a lot of happy Father's Day. Today, I get to be a dad. And I didn't get to always say that. But today, my beautiful young stepdaughter's over here. And she's been so sweet and accepted me in that role. And I don't take that lightly, because I was grown as a stepson myself. And that's an important way and an important role in somebody's life. Abby, thank you for taking me in as your stepdad. And to all the fathers out there, in whatever capacity you're serving, thank you and happy Father's Day to you. And last message, three words, three times. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Praise team, come on forward.